Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, a few more calls. Reaction to the Wizards' night last night. They selected Trey Johnson, number 6 overall. And then after trading back 3 spots with Utah at 21, they selected Illinois, 6'8 swing, Will Riley. I liked it. Both of those players were players that we talked about. Certainly Trey Johnson at 6. I was very much hoping that that would be the selection when they got there. Ace Bailey went the pick before, apparently very surprising to him. I liked what they did last night. You never know. I mean, this is, even for them, it is a crapshoot, as we see every year. It's really hard. But, you know, so far in their picks with this new regime, they haven't, you know, botched any of them. You know, everybody appears to be able to, you know, appears to be able to play at the NBA level at least a bit. They haven't moved on from anybody through these first 2 drafts. I liked it. Clark is on hold. Clark, thanks. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much, Kevin.
Sure, Clark.
Hey, Kevin, I'm so disappointed in what they did last night.
Okay, why?
They had this Steph Curry right in the middle of their hand. They had him in the palm of his hands. Clayton Jr., he's going to be a phenom in the NBA.
I don't know why they traded him.
I don't know why they traded him. They should have kept him.
They didn't trade him. They just picked him on behalf of Utah. You just can't have these trades be formal until July 6th. It's the dumbest thing. But, okay. Yes, they picked him for Utah.
Yeah, I would have kept this kid. This kid, in the bright lights, this guy's there. He's up for the moments. I just think they just let it slip through their grip. They had it in the palm of their hands. They just let it go, man.
I loved him too. I'm with you. When they were on the clock at 18, and you know they hadn't gotten Queen or Demon or some of the other guys that I was hoping might fall to 18 or they could trade up and get. I was like, Clayton Jr., let's do it. But you know what it says, Clark? I think it says more than anything, they really like Bob Carrington. Bob Carrington's going to have a chance to be the lead point guard on this team heading into the season. It's one of the reasons they moved on from Jordan Poole. They've got great belief in Carrington. And I think Will Riley, I think you're going to like the player, but I'm with you. I was a big Walter Clayton Jr. fan. I did not understand why he was mock drafted in the low to really high 20s. He ended up going 18. Thanks, Clark. Appreciate it. Let's go to Chief. Oh, Clark wanted to add one thing?
We dropped him out.
Okay, let's go to Chief in D.C. Chief, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. It's actually Chief. But
that's all right.
A couple of things.
But
before I go into the main thing, I noticed that we keep talking about the young core, and you guys are not, well, mentioned Keyshawn George, who I really like.
I like him. I like George a lot last year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. But I wonder, well, there was rumors that the Wizards were covered in fears for their pick, and I wonder if that was actually true, if that was just, you know, the scuttlebutt that goes on before the draft, and then they ended up with Trey, who I actually really like because I think he's going to fill that scoring drought that we lose with Poole, but give us some youth at the same time. But my bigger question is, if they ever consider going with someone like a Malawach, and then use that big lineup, move Sarr to the 4, because I feel like Sarr is more so a 4, you know, a stretch 4, and you can use all of his abilities, his off-the-ball defense and all that. But was there any consideration to do that and then go with a big lineup and use that for all that benefits, as we saw in the playoffs that came to play a lot of times?
Yeah, except for the fact that it was really hard at times for Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren to be on the floor. They started that series with Hartenstein on the bench. It's really hard in today's game to play two bigs simultaneously, even though OKC's two bigs were slightly different and that Holmgren could actually play on the perimeter offensively. I have no idea if Malawach was a guy they wanted. Fears was there for them, so Fears was available for them, and they took Trey Johnson. But I did ask Chase Hughes, who was on with us earlier in the show last hour, you know, the reports earlier in the week that the Wizards had inquired with teams above them about trading up for somebody, and he believed those reports to be true. And I said, well, who was it that they were perhaps going after? And he mentioned Edgecombe and Harper. You know, Harper would have been very expensive to get to number two. And I don't think San Antonio was going to be willing to move off of that. Were the Sixers willing to move off three? Who knows? But he didn't necessarily mention Ace Bailey. It would have been interesting if, say, Fears had gone to Utah at five and Bailey had been on the board with Trey Johnson at six. What would they have done? I have a feeling they would have gone with Trey Johnson. I think there was just a lot of stuff around Ace Bailey. We talked a lot about it. I know I got hung up on the game that he had against Maryland, which was as bad a game as you could imagine for, you know, a top three projected pick in the moment. And Derek Queen completely outshined him, had 29 and 15. He went to the bench and he was sick and didn't come back into that game. There were other games where you watched him and he was just very casual at times. There were also games in which he played in which he was an absolute stud. A star. I mean, he is talented. But the pre-draft workout process, interview process, was not smooth with him and his team. So I don't know. I think would have been interesting had Bailey been there. Somebody like Fears had gone before Washington to Utah at five, what they would have done. I think Trey Johnson is a really good pick for the Wizards. I mean, again, sitting here based on a year of college, that's what we think now. Who knows how it will play out, but I liked what they did last night. Keith in D.C. Keith, go ahead. Oh, that was Keith. Oh, we just talked to Keith. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, Keith in D.C., were they considering Fears or Malawach? Yeah, I don't know. They certainly, again, they had a chance to draft Fears, and they did not draft Fears. They drafted Trey Johnson. This is a tough process for most. I get it. You know, it's like the NBA for many people, especially during football season, is not even on the radar. And a town like ours with a team that hasn't contended in 46 years, near a half century, you know, there aren't a mass hardcore group of Wizards fans. I think there are, you know, many NBA fans in our market for sure. But what they're doing, you know, has a chance to pay off in a big way. What they were doing before didn't. I liked the Wall and Beal teams. You know, I loved watching Wall and Gortat play together. I liked some of those teams, and I thought those were good teams and teams that won playoff series and almost got to, you know, like the last step before the NBA Finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. But they didn't, and they were never going to because they weren't at that level with the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Miami Heat in the East. They've got a chance to become that. And in a basketball town, and this is a basketball town, not an NBA town, but a basketball town, it would be great if the NBA team was a legitimate contender at some point down the road. Good night for the Wizards, in my opinion. I would have loved to have seen Walter Clayton Jr. at 18, but I'm telling you, the more I think about it over the last couple of days, what's clear is Bob Carrington is their point guard. And it's going to be fun to watch him grow and see if he can become, you know, one of those guys, you know, along with maybe a big-time scorer and shooter next to him in the backcourt in Trey Johnson. They have 43 tonight overall. The Utah pick that they got back from moving back. The players that are available, you know, we talked to Chase about this. There are some bigs like Maxime Reynaud from Stanford, like Kalkbrenner from Creighton, the kid from Michigan, Golden. Those are some of the bigs that are available. You know, you've got a guy like Chaz Lanier, who is a hell of a half-court defensive player from Tennessee. You know, Jonai Broom, who wasn't he the SEC player of the year? Wasn't Broom the SEC player of the year? I think he was. You know, there's a lot of, you know, half-court, 6'9", 6'10", can shoot it, can, you know, spot up, can defend, kind of inside, outside. It'd be interesting to see where he goes tonight. So there are a lot of possibilities. Don't ask me to break down the French and Australian players that are being talked about in this round. All right, when we come back, total switch of subjects. Yesterday, at the very end of the show, we read through a top 10 list from a Philadelphia writer on why the Washington Commanders would be a dumpster fire this coming season. The truth is, some of those top 10 reasons were truthful in many ways. We'll discuss which ones were and which ones were not when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Something Austin Ekeler said about Jaden Daniels in about 20 minutes. This from Ron in Columbia. Ron writes, Kevin, that dumpster fire list was some hateful S, but not entirely wrong. The 8-game improvement stat was interesting, but can be explained by schedule strength differences. The outlier on run defense was the most telling. And you've said it, teams don't usually win as much as we did with the kind of run defense that the team exhibited last year. Yeah, what he's referring to, and most of you that responded just said, GD, that's some hateful stuff. What we're referring to is a story written by Jimmy Kempsky of the Philly Voice. And it was the first of what would become, I guess, or what will become, three sort of lists of why the teams in Philadelphia's division are going to be terrible in 2025. And the first list he did was 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this season. And reason number one, which is what Ron referred to, is that teams that have gone from, like a spot where Washington was 4-13 to 12-5, like an 8-game or better improvement from one season to the next, results in much more of the time than not a negative, net return on the third season. So meaning Washington was 4-13 in 2023. They were 12-5. Okay, so they had an 8-game or better improvement in, from one season to the next. And then this upcoming season, year three, will be a step back. They will not win 12 games. They will win less than 12 games. And that was the first reason why Washington will be a dumpster fire. And this guy actually put together a list of all of the teams since 1978, when the league went to a 16-game schedule, on what happened in year three after they improved by 8 games from one season to the next. And of the 17 teams, Washington included, so 16 before that, basically 14 teams had a significant negative, you know, win total. So they went from, you know, 13-3 to 10-6, or they went from, you know, 15-1 to 11-5. So they had a big decrease in win total. One team stayed the same, and only one team out of the 16 actually gained in wins. And that was the 1998 Jets. They went from 1-15 to 9-7, and then to 12-4. Everybody else had a big step back. The biggest step backs, the 2002 Bears went from 13-3 after going 5-11 to then 4-12. The Panthers went from 7-8-1 to 15-1. In 2015, the year that Cam Newton was the MVP, and the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Broncos. And then the next season, they were 6-10. That was a negative 9-game difference from the year before. Now, Cam Newton got hurt and missed a bunch of games that year. So Ron was referring to the first thing is more about schedule strength. That probably plays into it, no doubt. That probably plays into it, is that you went from a terrible season, which meant that in the following season you had, on paper, an easy schedule, you improved, and then all of a sudden you got a very difficult schedule, and you took a step back. So I'll agree with that, that has a part in the step back consistency over, you know, we're talking about 47 years of teams that made an 8-game improvement. Now, the other part that he was talking about that was very interesting to him is also interesting to me, but I think it is something that has been obvious over the years. Reason number 6 as to why Washington will be a dumpster fire in 2025 is their run defense will almost certainly suck again. And this guy, Jimmy Kempski, puts together a list of the teams that had last year the top 10 worst rush defensive teams in the league. And there was only one of them, of the top 10 worst rush defenses in the league, that ended up with a winning record. And that was Washington at 12-5. The Panthers had the worst rush defense. This is yards allowed. They went 5-12. The Saints had the second rush defense. They went 5-12. Washington had the third worst rush defense. They went 12-5. But then it was the Cowboys at 7-10, the Bears at 5-12, the Giants at 3-14, the Titans at 3-14, the Jags at 4-13. And the only team that even sniffed something in the area of 500 or better, the Colts were 8-9, and then the Patriots were 4-13. Yes. It was a major outlier. And typically it is. If you're in the top 10 of worst rush defenses, you typically don't have a winning record. You typically are not in the postseason. And Washington was a major outlier last year. Third worst rush defense, and of the top 10, the only team that ended up with a winning record. We talked about it all season long. Not only that, the other 9 teams had a 44-109 or a 288 winning percentage. I mean, they were a major outlier last year. And all during the season, remember, we talked about, God, they can't stop the run, but they keep winning. It's amazing, and we know why that was. It's because offensively, they were great. They were great offensively, and their quarterback in particular was really great. And their quarterback was really clutch also. So yeah, you know, you got to be better run defense, because your schedule strength probably, the way it'll play out, it doesn't always play out this way, but more likely than not, it will be tougher. And you'll, you know, be in a situation in which you don't stop the run, you might be in that group of teams with a losing record. Now, I would suggest to you also that list includes teams that did not have good offenses or good quarterbacks either. You know, the Panthers, Saints, Cowboys, you know, didn't have Dak most of the year. Bears had a rookie. Giants had a terrible situation. Titans had a terrible situation. Colts had a terrible situation. The Patriots had a rookie as well. The Jags had Trevor Lawrence, but they went 4-13. I mean, for the most part, you know, maybe you can survive a bad rush defense consistently if you have a great quarterback. Maybe. Maybe you can do that. You know, you go to, like, you know, the year before in 2023, rush defenses. Arizona didn't make the playoffs. They had the worst. Denver didn't make the playoffs. They had the third worst. I think Seattle, with the second worst defense, may have made the playoffs. Then it was the Giants, Washington, Cincinnati did make the playoffs, right, in 23. The Jets didn't. The Colts didn't. The Panthers didn't. So what is that, 8 out of the top 10 did not make the postseason, did not end up with winning records? You know, I bet if I went back through this through the years, the significant majority of your top 10 worst rush defenses do not end up with winning records. You got to stop the run in the NFL. You got to be able to run the football too. You know, you check rush offenses. You know, last year, if you're just going on yards, all right, here were the top rush offenses during the regular season. Baltimore, a lot of wins, playoffs. Philadelphia, a lot of wins, Super Bowl. Washington, a lot of wins. Tampa was 4. The Packers were 5. The Lions were 6. Your top 6 rush offenses, playoff teams. Arizona, not. Indianapolis, not. And then Buffalo, yes. So that's 8 out of the 10 top 10 rush offenses made the postseason, and 9 out of the top out of the worst rush defenses had losing records and did not make it. So, yeah, I mean, that those things along with turnover margin, you know, these are things to look at typically during the course of the year. Maybe one of the things will become that we'll start paying attention to will be fourth down percentage, because that was one of the things on the list of why Washington would be a dumpster fire in 2025, that there's no possible way they can go 20 of 23 on fourth down conversions at 87%, an all-time best in the Super Bowl era. I don't know. When you've got a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, it's possible that that fourth down percentage is going to be high and is going to be higher than the rest of the league, or it's going to be in that top 5 range consistently. Maybe it won't be 20 of 23. And look, they needed a lot of those 20 of 23, and that was in the regular season. You know, the postseason was pretty damn good on fourth down as well. There were a lot of other reasons for them not being good in 2025. Interesting stuff. A lot of these things we've talked about. A lot of the other thing that was interesting to me, I knew that their average age on the roster was old, but Washington compared to the rest of the league, all right, they've got 30 players currently on their roster, 90-man roster, who are 29 years of age already or older. And the next most of players 29 or older is Falcons, Lions, and Texans at 19. So Washington's got 11 more players of that age. You know, the average age of their 90-man roster is the oldest in the league. Let's also keep in mind, they have some very old players on their team in Zach Ertz, in Bobby Wagner, and in Tressway. So that skews it really high. I would also suggest that their, you know, best and most important players are their quarterback, who's young, their linebacker on defense, who is 28 years old, in Frankie Louvu, a corner on defense who was a rookie last year in Mikey Sanristil, and, you know, Terry on offense, obviously going to be 30 years old this year. Yeah. Interesting story. We spent some time on this yesterday. It's good fodder for this time of year. And there's a lot that's ridiculous about it, but there's a lot that is interesting. And I would just say, you know, to me, the number one area of concern, red flag, also a bit of a mystery, is can they be a much better defensive team than they were last year, specifically against the run? Because if they're not significantly improved in that area, they're likely going to find it very difficult to win 12. Can they win 9 or 10 and make the postseason with a bad defense and a bad run defense? I think they can with this quarterback and with this coordinator and some of the pieces they have on offense. But will they be a legitimate deep into the postseason threat? Probably not. So that's what needs to improve more than anything else. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What's the biggest red flag for Washington entering 2025? What is your biggest, this is a big, be careful what you're dreaming of. This is a true red flag on the 2025 season. The Philadelphia writer gave 10 reasons, 10 red flags. What's your one? 301-230-0980. We'll take calls on that. I've already pretty much given you my number one. It's defense, big picture, but specifically, it's run defense. But we'll take calls on that, and you'll hear what Austin Eckler said about Jaden Daniels entering year two when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, we are on the Team 980. You can also listen to us on the Team980.com, and you can watch us on the Team 980 YouTube page.
All right, the NBA draft was last night, and the selections are in for the Washington Wizards. Trey Johnson and Will Riley have officially made their way to town. Johnson is a lethal shooter, hitting nearly 40% of his threes last year at Texas, and Riley, a jumbo-sized playmaker with all the offensive tools to succeed at the NBA level. The draft continues tonight on ESPN, where the Wizards will hold the 43 overall pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have re-signed head coach Todd Bowles and GM Jason Light to multi-year contract extensions. Todd Bowles has been extended through 2028, and Jason Light will continue his role as GM as he enters his 12th season with the team. The Nats, they fall to the San Diego Padres yesterday. Mackenzie Gore had six-inning pitch, giving up only 5 hits and 1 earned run, but Padres pitcher Nick Pivetta was throwing gas last night. He notched 10 strikeouts in just 7 innings pitched. The Nats, they are off tonight and will continue the West Coast road trip tomorrow in Anaheim. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What's the biggest red flag heading into 2025 for our football team? The thing that concerns you the most? 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer. Max will give you his answer. Before we get to that, a couple of things. First of all, we talked earlier in the show about the NBA mix of players and country for the players in the league right now. So Canada does have the second most players in the league. And by the way, historically, Canada has the most players, just barely in front of France. But the current NBA is made up of 453 U.S.-born players, 25 Canadians, 14 from France, a lot more added last night, 12 from Australia, 9 from Germany, 6 from Nigeria, 6 from Serbia, 4 from Cameroon, 4 from Croatia, and then you get into Japan, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, Belgium, the Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, all with 3, all the way down to the countries that have 1 player, including, by the way, Jamaica. I don't know who the 1 player from Jamaica is, but there were no players until last night from China. Interesting. And no Russian-born players anymore. We are long removed from that, I guess. But Wilbon said to me the other day, and we played some of this, he thinks Canada is going to win the gold medal in 2028. You know, you have in the NBA right now, you have SGA, Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins, Andrew Nembhard, Lou Dort. Hold on, let me see if there's a list here. Mathurin, Kelly Olynyk, RJ Barrett. Be a hell of a team. Canada, he predicts, will win the gold medal in 2028. We'll see on that. Also, I wanted to just quickly mention, you know, I don't know if anybody's following this. More people are following this than not following it, you know, in years past. Caitlin Clark, in her last three games off of injury, is 1-for-28 from behind the three-point line. That is her shooting percentage from behind the arc in her last three games. 1-for-28. That's unbelievable. Now, what was announced today is she's injured, which makes sense. She was perhaps coming back too quickly off the last injury, but she has a groin injury and will miss the game tonight against the LA Sparks. But that's not great shooting from the best shooter that the sport has ever seen, certainly long-range shooter. Lastly, before we get to some of your calls, what is the biggest red flag for Washington entering the 2025 season? I did want to play this Austin Ekeler soundbite. This was from what, NFL Network?
So he sat down with SiriusXM NFL Radio, and okay. He said he was excited about to see what, you know, Jaden Daniels can do in the 2025 season after winning Offensive Rookie of the Year.
This is what he said.
I don't know what it is about, you know, me being around rookie quarterbacks, but, you know, I had, you know, Offensive Player of the Year, Justin Herbert, you know, when he was a rookie, and now I have, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels now. So I don't know if it's, you know, me being on the team or, but he's definitely exceeded expectations. And I think it's a good thing, not that I had low expectations for him, but you really don't know. So I think with quarterbacks, you come in, I've just been around long enough to know how much they have on their plate. There's a lot that they have to acclimate to. There's a lot, especially learning a new playbook and, you know, getting into a new organization. It's the league now, and you were second overall pick, a lot of high expectations. So it was like, yeah, I'm expecting you to play well. Now, go out and kind of have an MVP caliber type season, and where you're competing in those conversations, typically you don't get that from players. You know, that's not something that's often. There's usually a handful of guys that are playing at that caliber and can sustain that all year, and they're typically not rookies, I feel like. No, he crushed it last year. What I've seen from him going into this year, we have the same offensive coordinator, and so bringing that into the mix has now made it so now when we go through OTAs, Jaden's already on it. Like he's beyond, you know, kind of the rookie mistakes, like learning the playbook, you know, getting the play call out slow. He's getting people lined up. We got new guys coming in. No, Debo, you're not over here. You're on this side. Like when you start to see him kind of orchestrating out there, you can tell there's that growth. And he's starting to get more comfortable, which allows him to even play mentally faster and make better decisions. And so I think there's going to be even more growth this year, which is awesome because of where we're at with our team. We've got a lot of players back. Still have a lot of playmakers. Got to get Terry paid. And then, man, we're going to be looking like a powerhouse out there.
Good stuff from him. A lot of that, you know, sort of because of the experience. Rookie years behind him, second year in the league, same offensive coordinator, same system. For the most part, you know, a very similar and familiar supporting cast. You know, Jaden's definitely going to be talked about. I mean, I think he's seventh right now in odds for MVP. He's going to be in the mix to be, you know, he's going to be in the mix for MVP. I mean, it's going to be Mahomes, Jackson, you know, Burrow, Allen, you know, Herbert, Barkley, and, you know, a guy like Jaden Daniels. He's going to be in that mix. And, you know, I think, you know, moving now to the question at 301-230-0980 for you guys to answer as well. What's the biggest red flag entering next year? It's very easy for me. I've certainly talked about it a lot going back to the season last year. They've got to be better on defense. If they're going to legitimately compete for a Super Bowl, they have to be improved defensively. Do they have to be the best defense in football? No. But they've got to improve at least into kind of that top half of the league defensively. And I think specifically it is the run defense. They've got to be better against the run. They can't get gashed over and over and over again. Imagine if their defense had been just average last year, what they would have been offensively. The numbers would have been even more impressive because they would have had more opportunities. They didn't punt much. They just didn't get as many swings game in and game out because they couldn't get off the field on the other end. Imagine if their plus minus, if their turnover ratio is better, if they get more takeaways like they did against the Lions in the postseason. which they didn't do against Philadelphia in the championship game. But, man, you start with a guy like Tyrone Tracy. You go Josh Jacobs. You go Ashton Jeanty. And you go Bijan Robinson in the first four games of the season. We're going to find out in that first month of the season if they're improved against the run. That, to me, is the biggest red flag. I think given what you're going to face this year, at least based on what it looks like now, better offensive teams, much better quarterbacks, and the same, you know, impressive list of running backs. I'll never forget when Dan Quinn said late in the year, he said, you know, we've played some really good running backs. And I went back and looked at it, and I said, oh, my God, you guys have faced the best backs in the league, and one in particular three times in Saquon Barkley. And you got the same thing staring at you in 2025 with much better quarterbacks that you got to face, you know, during the course of the year. It starts with, you know, the Packers in week two, you know, when you're going to be facing Jordan Love. You got Justin Herbert in week five. You've got, you know, Dak. You've got Mahomes. You've got, you know, Goff. You've got Tua. You've got Bo Nix. We don't know what Chicago will look like with Caleb Williams. We don't know what Minnesota will look like with J.J. McCarthy. And that's before you get to the end of the season with two against Jalen Hurts. Red flag, run defense. If they can answer that and they'll get tested early in the year, it would appear you got a chance to go win the whole thing. If you're not much improved there, I think you're talking about still so good offensively in a quarterback, as long as he's healthy, the opportunity to win 9-10 games and be a playoff team. I do think that. 301-230-0980. Max, the biggest red flag for you is?
So kind of in a similar vein to yours, rush defense is definitely one of them. But in that, the lack of an edge presence, because you're going out in the season with Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Jacob Martin, Cleveland Farrell, and I guess if you want to call Javon Kinlaw an elephant edge, you can, but your best pass rusher at this point is Frankie Louvu. And while Frank Louvu is great, I would like to have more guys with that same ferocity on the edge. But not only that, but setting the edge so, you know, the rush defense does get help. You can't bounce it to the outside, and you get gashed for 45 yards, you know, a pop. So that's the big red flag to me right now, is just the lack of that edge presence. But, I mean, we'll see. Dan Quinn seems to be confident. Joe Witt seems to be confident heading into the season with what they've got. So, I trusted him last year. I'm going to trust him again this year. But it is something to have my eye on.
Look, to your point, you know, they could be better against the run this year. But the quarterbacks they're facing, they don't get enough pressure. And they end up becoming a bad third down team because of it. You know, Justin Herbert takes advantage of no pass rush or not good enough in the pass rush area. Mahomes does, Dak does, Tua does, Goff does. What I'd love to see, though, for them is just the ability to force third and longs and get into those situations and not give up, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards a pop on the ground. Because I've always felt as an NFL fan that there's nothing worse than watching your team get gashed on the ground. It is a much more painful way to go.
It's demoralizing.
Because it's demoralizing. And it's like, you know, the Steve Spurrier line from many years ago that Scott shared with us, that the defensive coordinator said at the time, Spurrier, when he was at South Carolina, got on the headset and said to his defensive coordinator, who was getting gashed against the run, either stop him or let him score, because I got some ball plays that'll work. And you know that because of what we will have offensively with Jaden and Kingsbury and everybody else, it will be painful. The best defense for the opposition will be keeping possession of the ball and keeping Washington's offense off the field. All right, Gary, go ahead. What's the biggest red flag for you entering next year?
It's the defense. I mean, first of all, thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Sure, Gary.
It's the defense. You know, the thing that bothers me about this offseason is that they had $90 million in cap space. And they didn't, everybody walking off that field when they gave up 55 points to Philadelphia, it was easy to see that they needed to improve the defense and they needed an edge rusher. Okay. And I don't think they adequately addressed either one. I don't think if all these players that they picked up in free agency played exactly the way they played last year with right. their respective teams, we're still going to be a bad football team. That's my
bad
problem.
Defense.
And if Dorrance
bad defense.
Yeah. And if Dorrance Armstrong is the main pass rusher that you have, you're in trouble. I told everybody when they called last year, when they were talking about Dorrance, he's about a 7.5 sack guy. That's what he's going to be. And they had an opportunity to go out and get a young pass rusher, and they didn't do it. And all of the hype going into the offseason where the reports were, everybody wants to come play for Washington. Yeah, you remember all of that? That didn't pan out. And I don't know if I can blame Adams because he may have gone out and tried to get these guys a free agency, and they said, no, we're going to go in another direction. But this – I'm very underwhelmed about their free agent haul. $90 million, you think they're going to make some splash signings. They didn't make one splash signing. These are a bunch of average
Well, they made
players.
A splash trade. It was on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's the splash trade, and I have my issues with that. But I think they gave up too much. But I understand we got better with those trades. But I don't think we've improved the team at all with the free agent signings. I like the draft.
Gary, you're not unreasonable. I don't think that you are out of line. I think a lot of fans would agree that at least based on the moves and the additions they made defensively, nobody's doing cartwheels that the defense is going to be locked down and great next year and significantly improved. Like I've said many times before, though, defense is incredibly variable year to year, and there is one thing going in their favor. This is year two in the same system, and perhaps, you know, guys like Payne and Armstrong and Farrell and Johnny Newton and, you know, a guy like Jordan McGee, all of a sudden, you know, it comes together in year two. That's what you have to hope for. But in terms of the additions defensively, there's nothing that blows you away. Nothing. Does Trey Amos look great in OTAs and mini camps? Yeah, but corners typically don't have great rookie years. Those are the exceptions to the rule. You know, the Sertans and the Sauce Gardeners in recent years, even Sanders still last year, usually you need reps and you need years, or at least a year. But I'm with you. Like, this is the biggest question mark going into next year. Samaj, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call, Matt, and Coach. Always good talking to you, Coach.
You too, Samaj.
Matt stole my thunder completely as far as my edge guys. I'm basically point for point.
Sorry, Samaj.
Just echo him. And as far as my other flag, believe it or not, Kevin, it's Kingsbury, all right? And I say that because I was pleased with our RB run last year. I thought we had good guys all the way down to Rodriguez. And there was just too many times Kingsbury put Jalen in jeopardy, calling dives. I mean, if we're in the second half of the season, we're in a playoff push. He's calling dives for Jalen. And I just wasn't feeling that at all. So, and then it was other times where I thought
– He was calling what? Did you say dives?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of quarterback keeper, quarterback sweep. I'd like to see that out of the playbook too, personally. Yes,
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And then the other part of it was just sometimes in the flow of the game, there was times where we should have ran and we threw, and there was times we threw and we should have ran. So I'm keeping my eye on
you're
King,
you're
right?
being you're really you know you're yeah. reaching here. They were an unstoppable top five offense last year.
No doubt.
No doubt.
But you remember, Kevin, everybody makes adjustments year to year.
And yeah, so, they do.
Best believe
and
me,
so does Kingsbury. He's got a history of making adjustments.
Absolutely. And he's going to have to. And my last point is I just want to bring some light to your comment yesterday on that guy's 10 things are trash for the other teams in the division. You said that one thing would lead for us to be in a dumpster fire would be Jaden going down. I remind you, we have Heisman Trophy winner, playoff caliber, Marcus Mariota is our number two. I'm not worried if Jaden goes down. If they both go down, then we got a dumpster fire. But if Jaden goes down, I'm more than confident that Mariota can get the job done. Thanks for taking my calls, Coach.
Okay.
Appreciate you, Max. You guys have a blessed rest of
your day. I hope we don't have to see that. And I loved Marcus Mariota last year. And he's terrific as a teammate and a mentor and the whole thing. If Marcus Mariota is your starter for a significant majority of the games, you're not going to the postseason next year, more likely than not. With Jaden, you're guaranteed pretty much if he plays 17 of at least winning nine, winning more than you lose. All right, back tomorrow, everybody. Chris is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.